Today, this very day, I am present in this place to proclaim to you the good news. Ready to hear it? We'll get there. First, I need to tell you that on April 6th, 2009, a unique thing happened in the history of this nation. Now, unless I told you what it was, do you know? On April 6, 2009, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, while making a speech in Turkey, proclaimed to the world, we, meaning you and I and all of the people of this great nation, we no longer consider America a Christian nation. Today, I am here to tell you that that's not the good news, but our president is right. America is no longer a Christian nation. The Bible is no longer read to our children in our schools. Our children are told that it is inappropriate for services or assemblies or even their private day to begin with prayer to the God of the universe. They are told that they cannot and should not pray publicly. The Ten Commandments have been removed from our courthouse walls, and Christian symbols are now frowned upon if they are displayed in any place. In fact, some churches were rejected the right to serve as polling places in the last election because they bore standards of our religion. The moral standards established by our Judeo-Christian tradition have been abandoned. And folks, I could go on and on. But it's unnecessary. For the truth of the president's proclamation is self-evident. President Obama is correct. America is no longer a Christian nation. I have to tell you that it does not bring me joy to tell you that he is correct in this matter. I fear for the little kids of our congregation, your children, who will grow up in a nation drastically different from the one in which we grew up because its moral character, its foundation has shifted. America is no longer a Christian nation. As a result of that, this nation can no longer call itself one nation under God. I tell you emphatically that the words in our Pledge of Allegiance are a lie and should be removed. They're not true, for we have rejected the rule of God as a nation. As a result, we can no longer claim the protection of Almighty God for the land in which we live. For our president has declared that we are not a Christian nation. There is therefore no power greater than ourselves. We are a people without God, for we have so declared and demonstrated by our living. But this is not the good news. The psalmist asks, when the foundations are destroyed, and the foundation upon which this nation was built has been destroyed, what can the righteous do? And it is a fair question for the people of God in this land to ask today. If the foundation has been destroyed, and it has, then what should the righteous do? Now, when I was a boy, 100,000 years ago, it seems, the Church of Jesus Christ believed that America was a Christian nation. we believed that the mission field had moved. It was no longer here, for the nation had been converted. We believed that the mission field moved overseas and that those were the pagan lands. We sent missionaries everywhere to tell the heathen the good news, Jesus saves. But now, by our own living in the president's proclamation, we are a heathen nation. And the mission field is no longer out there in some land far away. It is here, in this place. The mission field is here, for the people of this land have rejected Jesus Christ and need to come home to the Savior. That is exactly where Jesus Christ was in the passage of Scripture that Frank just read to you. On that day, Jesus was marching toward Jerusalem. He was moving with all haste and with all determination towards the events which would take his life and provide for our salvation. Jesus was at that moment marching through Samaria, where people rejected him simply because he was a Jew. And I got to tell you today, as you march through this heathen nation, people will reject you because you claim the name of Christ. Expect it. They were rejecting him simply because he was a Jew. And he was on his way to Jerusalem, about to encounter the opposition of his own people, who would not receive the news that he was indeed God's Messiah, the Savior of mankind. Surging around Jesus Christ was opposition. Those who claimed to know God lining up to oppose him and eventually to destroy him. And I tell you, there are forces moving in this nation today that would destroy the Church of Jesus Christ and the good news message that he is the Savior. But on the day in question, Jesus looked out over those nations which raged against him and against God, and he boldly proclaimed, you ready? The harvest is plentiful. The fields are white for harvest. And my friends, that am the good news I bring to you today. I proclaim to you today that since this nation has rejected Jesus, behold, the fields are white for harvest. Why, you can't throw a stone in America today and not hit a sinner. It is full of them. The heathen nation rages against God, and it is full of sinners. And you know what they need most? They need to hear the message that the kingdom of God is near, and it is close today. They need to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. They need to be taught to praise the Lord of the harvest. For America is now the land of the heathen. God is no longer God, for we have rejected him. And yet in our hearts we carry the news that Jesus is Lord. The very news that all those beyond the walls of this place need to hear. The fields, my friends, are ready for harvest. Jesus declared the good news. The fields are ripe. It's time to harvest. The harvest is at hand, he said. But he also saw the problem. The workers are few. Now you catch this. Don't you miss this. See, Jesus Christ, our Lord, from his point of view, the problem at that moment in time was not the number of sinners who inhabited the world around him and who raged against him. The problem was, there were too few workers to carry the good news to all those heathen sinners who needed to hear. You ready? That is the problem today in this once great Christian land. Though there are many who need to hear, who need to know that Jesus is Lord, who need to hear sung in their ears the wonderful song that Jesus loves the little children, whether they be red or yellow, black or white, he loves them all. But the righteous, you and me, have been lulled and now bullied into silence. We are afraid to speak the good news that burns in our hearts to our nation. We're even afraid to speak it to our neighbors. Many of us will not proclaim the good news to the people we love in our own family, for we are afraid. We fear the consequences of living out our faith and of speaking of our allegiance to God Almighty. We are afraid that they will condemn us as being bigoted and narrow-minded, that they will look on us and laugh. Do you remember what they did? Jesus. The problem today is not the number of sinners in the world. The problem is that there are too few workers to go out into the fields and reap God's harvest. But Jesus knew the answer to the problem as well as the nature of it. He said to those who were with him that day about which Frank read to you, pray. Pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, God Almighty Himself, will send out workers to gather the grain. Did you hear the prayer today in the praise team? Somebody right here on my heart, Father. Bother me with a lost soul. Show me one of those heathen sinners. Give me one that I might bring him home. Oh, Jesus told us what to do when the foundation moves. Pray, he said. Pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, will send out workers into his harvest. Pray that God will bother you with a need to speak regardless of the cost and lead you to the one you can bring home. Now I'm going to caution you. You ready for this? If you pray and you ask God to send out workers to gather in the harvest, if you do that, he ain't going to send Bob or Jane. He is going to send you and me. So if you pray it, expect God to answer the prayer by sending you. Today, I tell you that what Jesus told the 72 on the day about which Frank just read to you, the kingdom of God is near. Soon, at a moment we cannot anticipate or know, the sky will roll back like a scroll, and Jesus Christ himself will descend through the air until his feet again touch ground on the Mount of Olives in the holy city of Jerusalem. And as the Bible says, all of us sitting in front of our televisions, all flesh will see it together. It is sure and it is certain. Soon that moment will come. And when it comes, the time to decide to live for Jesus will pass forever. Now, right now, the fields are white for harvest. We, all of us, know people who today do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior or as their Lord. And I tell you that because America is no longer a Christian nation, we are living on the mission field. It's no longer over there. It is here. We're living on the mission field, but we still fail to think of ourselves as missionaries. We don't live like this ain't home. We live as if we belonged here. The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Today, God is calling us to reap the harvest, to boldly proclaim the good news, no matter what it costs. For folks, today, the kingdom of God is near. So, when the foundations upon which the nation are destroyed, and they are, and when important people stand up and boldly proclaim that we no longer belong to Christ, what do the righteous do? We pray. We pray that God will send out workers into his harvest, and that there will be a revival of souls gathered home to the Father, to the glory of his name, and to the salvation of the nation. Amen.